we go. That took a minute. Sorry, Mr. Chairman, but you are recording if you want to kick it off.
All right, very good. Welcome everybody to our May 25th edition of ITAC. We will go ahead and start off with a roll call.
Mr. Krishnamurthy. Mr. Lang for Mr. Kirkland.
Present.
Mr. Cook.
I'm here.
Mr. Fleeto.
I'm here.
Mr. Bruner for Mr. Byers.
Present.
Mr. Murray for Mr. Romer.
Present. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Gonick. I believe we have Lev on. Mr. Gonick, can you unmute and
could be hardware muted.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move on.
Yeah, we can come back to him.
Mr. Sloan.
Present.
Representative Nguyen. Senator Gray. Ms. Pereira for Mr. Stavnet.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum of five. It would make six with Mr. Gonick, so I'm going to call him again.
Lev Gonick. Lev, if you can unmute and acknowledge your presence.
Okay.
We have some call. Five,
Mr. Chairman, call correctly and see if we can get him there. I see him on. All right. While you work on that, we'll go ahead and I will remind folks that this is a public meeting and we do follow the public meeting law. If you have any comments, we do have a link in the agenda where you can submit a comment there and the team will disposition it. Next item of business will be approval of our April 2022 recording. Stuart, did you have a question? Yeah,
Mr. Chairman, I just need to abstain because I did not manage to listen to that recording. So I have no sense of the completeness of it.
Understood. Are there any other comments or questions on the recording? Otherwise, I'll take a motion with regard to it.
Chuck, if you're speaking, you're muted.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I think we just lost Mr. Cook. We're going to have to pause on a vote.
We can pause.
To rejoin, unless we can confirm Mr. Gonick.
Apologies, Lev Gonick here.
Hey, Lev, thanks.
Great. Okay, Mr. Chairman, you can proceed. You still have five.
Okay, all right. So we're back on the a motion with regards to the April 22 recording as our meeting minutes.
Are you looking for an aye?
I'm looking for a motion.
Oh, okay. Mr. Chair, is Eddie, I'll motion to approve.
All right. Thank you, Eddie. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Lang. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? Noting Mr. Bruner's abstention.
All right. A bit of a chilling effect on the whole process.
I know. That.
Sorry.
I'll have to get you lined up next time, because apparently no one wants to move without you here.
I know. It's a shame being an influencer like I am.
Who knew you had such influence? All right. We'll go ahead and step into our first item for voting, which is a presentation by the Department of Transportation.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Michael Carpenter. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Department of Transportation who will introduce themselves after a brief overview of the project. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the Department of Transportation's project investment justification request approval to modernize the existing International Registration Plan, or IRP, and International Fuel Tax Agreement, IFTA, systems. Currently, vendor-supported systems have been slow to adapt to the evolving needs of the state, while support and maintenance fees have continued to increase year over year. The project investment justification proposes leveraging already existing components from the Motor Vehicle Division's MVD Max and AZ MVD Now systems to develop a more comprehensive system to better serve the needs of the state. At this time, I'll turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed project and answer any questions you might have.
Great, thanks, Michael. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is David Kniggy, and I'm the Motor Vehicle Modernization Director for ADOT. And with me today is Steve West. Steve, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm mute. Yeah, Steve West, I'm the CIO of ADOT. I believe we have the deputy CIO, Bill.
Yes, Bill Miller, deputy CIO for ADOT.
Great, thank you. Next slide, please. So today we're gonna briefly go through and kind of give you some background on the business need and our approach. Next slide, please. So for your information, the two business activities within ADOT Motor Vehicle Division include two programs that are basically interstate agreements throughout North America, traditionally affecting the commercial motor vehicle space. First one is what we call IRP, International Registration Plan. This is where truckers that drive throughout, mainly, you know, large trucks driving through the continental United States up to Canada. This is how the registration fees collected are redistributed among the jurisdictions. And it's a fairly stable, this program has been in place for a long time, pretty mature business, and not a lot of controversy or interest, but it's a fairly complicated, very specialized part of ADOT's functioning. Similarly, the International Fuel Tax Agreement, we call it IFTA, does the same thing essentially with the taxes collected on fuel sales and how they're distributed among the jurisdictions in North America for interstate trucking. So those are the two programs that we're addressing, the systems that support. These systems have some integration to national, especially AMBA and other national organizations that set the rules and communicate among the jurisdictions. Next slide, please. So, of course, the key need we had was we have a contract ending, so we would have to do something, either reissue a contract, which would be purchasing another commercial office shelf solution, or of course the other option we have is to build it ourselves. We had to do one or the other given the expiring contract. One thing we've experienced with both of these programs is as off-the-shelf solutions, they're highly siloed. Our commercial trucker customers have to interact with each of them individually, separate from all other services that ADOT may provide with them. As siloed solutions, the data quality is poor because of isolation, no federation of information or very little. And both programs are difficult to support technically and operationally. Also a challenge that we wanted to address, these are fairly expensive programs. And even more important to us is a very significant lack of control. These programs are, the vendors and their software are very difficult. You pretty much buy it as it is and take it as it is. Once you're live, change is very difficult and expensive. So next slide, please. So through an analysis, we determined that we're far better off doing something that we're quite experienced with, which is to actually build both of these solutions ourselves. On the right, you see a list of a whole bunch of features that are a part of our modernization Mac system, things like portals and payment engines and vehicle management and all sorts of work in process. All those functions are already deployed in production and fairly mature. We can reuse all of those when we build our custom solutions. It fits into our strategic view for unified commercial vehicle system supporting industry. And ADOT MVM, which is our modernization team, has many resources with experience with IRP and IFTA specifically throughout the United States. So why aren't we considering a COT off-the-shelf solution? This is very, very limited market segment. So there aren't a lot of industry players. They tend to use quite old technology. When we did an assessment, you'll see the budget. We did an assessment of the cost of ownership comparison. They're more expensive and it perpetuates siloed solutions. ADOT's strategic initiative, ADOT MVD's strategic initiatives are to have integrated systems as much as possible. So this was our proposed solution. Before I go on, I'll pause here unless we go into schedule and budget. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, so something that'll help me a bit, David, is when I hear the high level description, right, of IRP and IFTA, I'm reading that like basically all the states and some provinces all participate, and it looks like maybe in both programs. Whether there's 100% overlap is kind of irrelevant, but I'm just asking myself, why isn't there a single national shared system? What is it that makes each state have to implement this thing themselves?
It's interesting, Mr. Chairman, that you ask that question, because once we've been contacted by many jurisdictions once they heard that we're building one. So, okay. Because there's only a handful of vendors, and to be honest, there's been some vendors who were fairly large companies, and the dollars and the frequency of those dollars are so small in this space, from a technology space, that it just becomes the stepchild of their business. It's been fragmented because of most states. It's more, if you look at, some states are cloud oriented, some are legacy, some are Java, some are Microsoft. So you get the fragmentation probably because of it's such a small part. This would be the tail not wagging the dog, so to speak. So these things have to, that's why they tend to stand alone, stand freestanding. There has been in the past, probably two decades ago, 14 states that shared a system out of Indiana. And we have had multiple states within the last month ask us if we could begin discussions of if Arizona could share their solution with those other jurisdictions. So, but I do think fundamentally to your question, sorry for the long-winded answer, it's because it's so kind of small and marginalized that it doesn't become a strategic technical asset for anybody, right?
Yeah, no, I guess I totally understand why, when you have a domain of only maybe 50 with provinces, maybe 60 customers, And that's divided up among a few vendors that, you know, no one clearly wins. And is this something that would be outside the domain of like an organization like AMVA to be able to be like, you know, a clearinghouse to provide that?
Yeah, it's interesting. AMVA does so many clearinghouse services, but this one probably integrates so much with state data that it's never kind of emerged as one of those things AMVA stepped forward for. But
okay, and I think that kind of gets to the live part of my question, which is, you know, while the function, right, maybe the broad level function is similar in what this solution would provide to any given state, the data feeding it is state specific, yes?
Correct, yes. Although much of it's shared, you know, there's a lot of sharing, which is something AMVA does very, very well, by the way, is the interstate sharing of information. So,
all right, thank you. I just helped build some context for me as we go forward in this. Appreciate it.
You bet. Any other questions before next slide? So, a very busy diagram, which really basically says we want to get rid of all of our siloed systems and have one unified system. That's pretty much the right now, even looking down the road, we have designs on expanding. So you have one view of a vehicle within the state of Arizona, one view of a driver within the state of Arizona, rather than views that are specific to all of our different programs. And so this is just a long-term vision that this is part of, which we also have underway a project that would be bringing our ports and our permitting at our ports into alignment with this in the same way that we're doing with IRP and IFTA. Again, one of the reasons we did our modernization in the first place is to build a platform where we can efficiently deploy these solutions as custom solutions, fully integrated and fully managed. Also, one thing that we found is, Mr. Chairman, I'm sure you experienced this as well, vendor solutions resist AMS and the continuous process improvement process. The very nature of a vendor is they want to change things as little as possible for the fees that they're collecting. Whereas when your organization and your culture is continuous improvement, continuous investment, we prefer solutions that were fully controlled by the agency. Next slide, which is our timeline. So this is the planned timeline of deployment. Basically, a little over a year from now, we plan to be going live at the end of summer of 2023. Already have resources lined up, ready to go, and able to begin. We've done substantial work on our phase zero, so we're pretty confident. Don't really see much risk of delay or issues around being able to hit this date. So, any questions before we move on to budget? Okay, next slide, please. Thank you. So the expected cost is just under $2.5 million. This is all using supplemental resource, our normal MDM delivery team that we do for other ADOT MVD modernization work. The 5-year cost of ownership subsequent to that, an estimate on that. So our expected total cost of ownership at $3.3 million. Typical of this marketplace, the initial 2.5 licensing and implementation cost is similar to what we would be spending, but there's a substantially higher annual cost in support and maintenance, M&O. So the difference is about $1.2 million between the costs and the custom approach. Just of note, the budget for this is coming through our eGov agreement, so it's not using appropriated funds. So any other questions before? I think that's all we have, so.
All right, I'll open it up to the committee members for any questions. Lev, go ahead.
Just to confirm that the, if you wouldn't mind going back to the last slide, that would be helpful. Thanks. Just to confirm that the five-year operational cost is inclusive of, you know, all the internal ongoing enhancements and development talent that you have.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Although I will tell you, it's a unique, it's one of the benefits of an integrated system. It's harder to attribute a cost to a specific function or feature. So for example, we could change some foundational item, let's say talk about a workflow element that benefits all of our systems. You know, how would you attribute that cost, right? So we do have some costs that are kind of across the board and then some costs that are very targeted and very easy to track. We do have very granular cost management, cost tracking tools. We use DevOps team foundation server from Microsoft. So any work performed by our team, is all the hours and effort attracted are actually attributed to that activity. So, but we're pretty confident that it won't exceed that amount. But yes, that's it even includes the incremental hosting costs in Microsoft Azure as well.
Mr. Lang.
So, you know, going along the same lines of thinking, and if we could go back to slide 6. So when we talk about the unified platform, that all makes sense. Understand the desire for control. Going along the same lines of what Lev just hit on, you know, one of the benefits of going COTS, you know, outside of something, you know, industry specific, is you have the product organizations really focused on continuing to modernize their platforms and the features that go along with them. You know, in this case, when you're talking about securing and continuing to modernize as you unify, what's the actual strategy or approach to keep this platform up to date from a tech perspective?
So it's a great question, because you know, one of the reasons we did our modernization in the first place was the significant technical debt that we had accumulated in our legacy systems. Our deployment that we made for our modernization, now we have one platform, all of it, all of MVD's technology outside of these kind of siloed systems are all Microsoft cloud-based, Microsoft Azure, all Microsoft stack, you know, in terms of the technology. And we've maintained them all together, right? So we don't have to upgrade various, you know, 20 different systems independently. We have one platform to keep current, right? And when we keep it current for the motor vehicle space, you know, the MVD core business, then we're already doing the exact same thing for IRP and IFTTT and for the ports and other integrated solutions, unified solutions. Historically, ADOT, you know, Steve West can talk to this, is he has this giant juggling act, which thing is he upgrading next and trying to keep as current as he can, because they're all different and you know, different platforms, different releases, and we're fortunately a very, very clean, unified, single platform solution. And at least in this space, you know, because there was kind of two parts to the question, the vendors do not invest heavily. The technology is quite lagging. Just to give you an example, many of them don't have portals for self-service, you know, something very basic and common in any market for any service. So the vendors probably underinvest, because the dollars are in this market space are fairly limited.
No, that makes sense. I think, right, there's a trade-off between industry-specific COTS and then more general platform plays that you're configuring. I think, you know, the big thing, you know, everything you're talking about obviously makes sense from a strategic standpoint and, you know, and something in-house. I think the big thing to keep an eye towards is, you know, as you have the major leaps in technology, when, you know, you start walking through everything needing to be mobile first, right? Or everything from a digital perspective, starting to integrate with AI and machine learning and, you know, whatever the next big leap is that's ahead of us in the next 3 to 5 years, how do we keep the platform that, you all are investing in a place where you can keep up with the pace and, continue to, modernize accordingly?
So if I could speak to that a little bit with some humor, I don't know if you know Director Jorgensen of the Motor Vehicle Division, but he is pushing the, front edge of every technology in this country. Arizona's known in the motor vehicle space for being at the very front edge of everything. And it's just his general demeanor is to push the front end of that. We're probably on the risk of being too forward, too current. Good example, we use, we're digital first, mobile first. We use AI, facial recognition technologies. We're putting every digital service we can, including all of these. These systems will now be fully integrated to our portal. So I do think it, in our case, we're fortunate because I know for motor vehicle, our leadership demands kind of keeping current and reinvent, but it does require continuous investment, which is absolutely, continuous improvement requires continuous investment. And that absolutely is a risk for, many agencies. I feel we're fortunate in that that's probably not our biggest problem. So.
All right, thanks. Mr. Murray.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dave, just I've got about four questions, and I feel like I kept adding to them as I was hearing you guys talk. Did I hear that you will specifically be using existing FTE or contractor resources for this project, or looking to leverage additional resources as part of that cost?
Existing.
Okay. So with that in mind, are there any other major projects that ADOT or MVD are working on right now using those existing resources that might put that, I would say, probably rather aggressive timeline at risk, looking to have this deployed by within about a year?
Yes, it's a good question. It's a mixture of both. So we do have resources that are purposefully shared across many projects. Good example of that would be a database administrator or a cloud architect, someone like that. The resources that are that are basically the the business analysts and software developers, those people are fully committed to this project, including a PM. So you do have some shared resources across the, but that's our normal managed model. So
sure, understood. My next question is more around the integrations or interactions between our system, other states, and the Canadian systems. Is that going to be built into it? Are we going to be supporting and managing this system just for the state of Arizona? Or are other states and potential Canadian companies or government entities going to be utilizing this system as well?
At least initially, this is being built solely for Arizona.
Okay.
But to your point, there's fairly sophisticated and complex pricing rules. In other words, the rules around, from Oklahoma, if you're driving in Oklahoma, it's very different than Nebraska or, wherever. At every one of those, we will be maintaining those fee calculation rules.
Understood. And that also kind of ties into, so around collection of that data, will there be anything in there, or are we already capturing any information on Canadian nationals or Canadian businesses that could be considered PII or obligating us to meet Canadian data privacy regulations or other security regulations?
Interesting. Off the top of my head, I can think of nothing that we don't already do more in the CDL program, the commercial driver's license program. That those are the people driving the vehicles. They're not the people that are, this is the tax side, the revenue side.
Correct.
So it's probably a much more poignant question around CDL than it is around these financial systems.
Okay.
It is an interesting, that is an interesting potential point of friction in the future though, absolutely.
Yeah, just knowing that we obviously have, and ADOT is well versed in this, that we have a lot of regulations around collection and storing and processing tax information when it comes to U.S. citizens. Don't know if there's going to be additional data in there around Canadian citizens or their businesses and that tax collection information.
So the program administration for this is with AMBA, which is the American Association of Motor Vehicles. So basically, we'll be compliant to that, and it will be AMBA's headache to solve the problem you just described. So.
Sounds good. Understood. Thank you very much, Dave. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Any other questions from the committee? All right. With none, I'll turn it back over to you, Michael.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. ACID is recommending that the PIDG be approved with the following conditions. One, should development costs exceed the approved estimates by 10% or more? Or should there be any significant changes to the proposed technology scope of work or implementation schedule, the agency must amend the PIDG to reflect the changes and submit it to ACID and ITAC if required for review and approval prior to further expenditure of funds. Two, monthly reporting on the project status is due to ADOA, ACID, no later than the 15th of the month following the start of the project. Failure to comply with the timely project status reporting will affect the overall project health. The first project report for this project is due on June 15th, 2022.
Okay, those are the fairly standard conditions. Any discussion on those with the committee? If not, I will take a motion with regard to the project.
I move that we approve as with the conditions as presented.
Thank you, Mr. Fleetham. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Lev. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Thank you very much. That's a unanimous vote. Thank you, Dave and Steve. Appreciate your time today. Good explanation. Thanks for the additional context, Dave, on that. And good luck with your implementation.
Thank you very much.
All right, next item up on our agenda is the Arizona State Retirement System coming with a change request with regard to their cloud migration.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jacob Crimmins, and I'm an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. On August 18th of 2021, the Arizona State Retirement System obtained ITAC approval of a cloud migration project to move their enterprise data center operations into the AWS cloud. The agency is now seeking approval of a change request to amend that project. And at this time, I will hand it over to their team for introductions to present the change request and to answer any questions that you may have.
All right, thank you, Jacob. And hello, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Dave King. I am the CIO here at Arizona State Retirement System. With me today is Rich Nastinovich, who is my program manager over enterprise infrastructure. Hello, Rich. Thanks for joining me. If we have any real technical questions, Rich would be happy to answer them. I'm just the CIO here, so but I'm happy to make this presentation today. We do have a request here to amend our end date, and if you'll go to the next page on the presentation, we came to you a year ago. First of all, let's recap what we're doing here. Came to you a year ago and asked for permission to do this project. We got approval through ITAC, through this committee. Our objectives were to not just move our data center to the cloud, but also our entire infrastructure, everything into the cloud, and utilize the infrastructure and routing established by state of Arizona to achieve alignment and security, allow staff to meet the same strategic objectives as pre-migration with our agency. We have a very extensive strategic objective plan. And with our operations, we wanted it to be able to be entirely supported by our own staff after migration without reliance on external professional services. And we also wanted to convert our disaster recovery capabilities, which are currently in the cloud, into an entirely new structure that is much more redundant, fault tolerant, and able to bring up in a disaster, bring up all of our services in minutes rather than hours or days. So that was our overall set of objectives a year ago. Next slide. What we're asking for now is the approval to push our project out by a year. But what we're not doing is spending any more money. So we want to move our entire project out by a year. We might not need the entire time, but we want to allow for it so we're not back here again in a few months. We want to add a significant amount of scope. We decided during our design phase that we did not want to just accomplish a lift and shift. We didn't want to take our current network architecture and infrastructure, our current security model and all that, and just drop it into the cloud to say that we're in the cloud. We decided after really breaking it down with our partner Slalom that we wanted to actually really build this in a much repeatable way and in a way that doesn't, we don't have to go back in and modify it and modernize it later, we may have wanted to originally or thought maybe we would do originally after we got into the cloud. It's much better to do it right the first time and establish a whole new network architecture, a whole new security system so that we have micro-segmentation and we have a lot more control over who has access to our network and hence a lot smaller attack surface for any kind of fraudulent activity. Overall, this means we're spending more time in design and less time being actually up in the cloud. As a result, we're adding scope to our project, but we're going to end up spending less on the project because it costs more once you're in the cloud to keep the lights on than it does to talk about and consult about it with your own FTEs and a partner. So overall, we're going to spend less on the project, but we do want to take longer to complete the project. We'll have more details on the revised scope in an upcoming slide. Next slide, please. So overall, the timeline here, we started last August. Right now, we're in May. We'd originally planned to be done in June, but we've been talking about this and reporting to ASSET our need for a new end date for the past few months, as we've been trying to nail down exactly what we want to accomplish in this project before we go live. We want to have infrastructure as code. We want to do a lot of things that are easily repeatable and manageable by my staff after we're done. And this is turned out to be a more complex project than even Slalom, our partner, was expecting. So we've been putting together a change request with them over the past couple of months and finalizing our expectations of them as well as us. And now we're ready to present that to you. So it's not like we just suddenly decided that we need to change our end date on the project. It's that we're now very comfortable with how we're going to spend the next several months. We may not need the entire year, but I want to allow for the entire year for the just in case we have more hurdles that we didn't expect to see. Next slide, please. So here's a bullet point list of the additional scope we're adding. We're not removing any scope from the project. We're only adding scope. We're using a much more detailed, well-architected framework through AWS with their consulting support. We're doing all infrastructure as code so that everything we put into the cloud has been reviewed and approved and has an audit history and it assures immutability, integrity, availability, all the abilities, recoverability and efficiency, might be efficiency, but we'll just say efficiency. Internet through Iron Mountain shared hosted data center, an enhanced network security, and with the Oracle as well, that we use Oracle for our database, and that is going to be moved into the cloud and upgraded with licensing and all that to support that presence there. Next slide. So here's an update on our milestones. We were originally expecting, as I said, to be done by this June. We have known for the past few months, and again have been reporting that a change request is coming for the past few months when we knew that we needed to spend a lot more time in design. So our fourth and fifth milestones are still in progress. And then once we start up the subsequent milestones, we feel like the timeline has enough buffer in it to where we're not coming back and asking for another extension if we hit another design issue. So we just want to make sure we do it right the first time and not already plan a subsequent project to clean it up later. Next slide. Here's our amended financials. The bottom line there is the difference between what we're what we now expect to spend versus what we had expected to spend a year ago. And we're saving a little bit of money in this fiscal year because we're not in the cloud yet, and we're instead spending the money on our vendor, Slalom. And then next year, we won't be in the cloud for the entire year, so we'll have less cloud costs next year and only a little bit left over to spend with our partner, Slalom, next year. So we expect to save about $250,000 in the next year or so, but that's only because we're not going into the cloud quite yet, based on our projections of what it's going to cost in the cloud. I think that is it. Do we have another slide? No, that's just Q&A. So, Jacob, I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Chairman, and any questions from the group.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Bruner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. King. I just continue to have a worldview problem with extending a project by a year, significantly increasing its scope with multiple vendors involved, right? You got Oracle, you got Slalom, you got AWS. And the cost of the cloud is so high that by avoiding going to the cloud, you're saving money. Is that consistent with other people's experience, or is this an outlier just for this project?
That's an excellent question. We don't all share our financials with each other, but it is well known that keeping the lights on in the cloud, paying as an OPEX expense, is an ongoing expense. And the way it works out with AWS is that it does end up costing more than otherwise just staying on premises. Yes. The offset is supposed to be you don't need the brick and mortar data center anymore. You don't need to replace your hardware anymore and things like that. But in the short scope of just operating expenses, assuming your hardware is already in place, it is more expensive to be in the cloud. So our overall expenses are going to be less or cost less than we do have just one vendor that we're actually directly working with, Oracle. We have an ongoing contract with Oracle that is not going to change. We're not actually consulting directly with them. We're consulting with the one vendor, Slalom, on that. And so we do just have that one agreement for this project with one vendor. But I get what you're saying, and I understand. And I just wanted to buy us enough time for the just in case for another year, so we're not coming back every 3 months asking for, hey, guess what happened? Hey, guess what happened? We'd rather do it right. There's a lot of other agencies that we've spoken to directly who got up into the cloud and are now working on optimizing in the cloud and are now working on cleaning up what they didn't necessarily need to have up there, or how they were organizing their network, or they're still applying micro segmentation on their network, or they're still applying other security features after the fact while they're paying to have the lights on in the cloud. And we'd rather avoid that, do it right the first time, so we're not paying to keep it on in the cloud and then trying to modify it later. We'd like it to be right the first time.
Okay, so we'll chalk up that discrepancy to hidden costs, brick and mortar, versus fully exposed costs of being in the cloud. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With the brick and mortar on the renewals there, you'd see big spikes and needs, sure, for expenses every 4 years. Now you've just got a constant every year on a relatively lesser scale, but it's a constant. It won't ever go up or down.
We call that
hopefully it goes down over time.
Pay by the drink, we call that. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Instead of buying the whole bottle. Yeah.
That's right. Any other questions from the committee? All right. With that, I'll go back to Jacob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. ASSET is recommending that the change request be approved with the following condition. Should development costs exceed the approved estimates by 10% or more, or should there be significant changes to the proposed technology scope of work or implementation schedule, the agency must amend the PIDGE to reflect the changes and submit it to ADOA ASSET and ITAC if required for review and approval prior to further expenditure of funds.
All right. Thank you, Jacob. Any questions or comments from the committee on those conditions? If not, I'll take a motion with regard to the change request.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move approval of the extension with the conditions as read.
Thank you, Mr. Bruner. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Fleetham. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you. That's a unanimous vote. Thank you, Dave and Rich. Good luck with the continued implementation.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Will do.
All right, that concludes our voting items for today's agenda. We are moving into our informational updates, first of which is Department of Education on the school finance payment system.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Again, my name is Jacob Crimmins, Engagement Manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. I'm now joined by members of the Department of Education, who at this time will introduce themselves and provide the committee with an informational update on the overall status of their school finance payment system replacement project.
Thank you, Jacob, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm going to go ahead and let my team go around the room and introduce themselves quickly, and then I will give you guys my brief update. Q, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Karan Nero. I'm the director of the program management office here at AD. Thank you.
Lyle? I believe Lyle's here. I believe we have Lyle here. He is our associate superintendent of school finance. And Nan.
Good afternoon. My name is Nan Nesvig. I'm director of IT project management. I am also the project manager for this project.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and give my brief update for April. Currently, if you want to jump to the next slide. Currently, we are in green. You can see the stats box by Epic. One of the in progress, one IT requirements, two requirements review. We've got a dev analysis stage going on, three development stages, one QA, one QA testing, zero business UAT at this time. We currently still have four of the seven budget AFR milestone epics currently in process. Two have been completed. One remains in the backlog. Four of the seven critical deliverables have been completed and approved. Through the end of April, total spend is $1.267 million. We've got two active risks. One was a new risk added last month, which was the onboarding activity. As you all remember, Whitney Marsh left the agency and the new chief of staff, Callie, was designated as our new project sponsor. So that risk was documented last month. And currently, we've got no issues right now on this project. Are there any questions for me or the team? Wonderful. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Beth. All right. Our next informational update is Department of Health Services. We'll be talking with us about their medical radiologic technician licensing system.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Haley Greenberg. I'm an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. I am joined here today by members of the Arizona Department of Health Services. The team will introduce themselves, then provide the committee with an informational update on the overall e-licensing program and specifically their next extension for medical radiological technology.
I'll go first. This is Luke Evans, Project Management Office Manager at the Arizona Department of Health Services.
This is Scott Ward, Senior IT Project Manager, Department of Health Services.
Next slide, please. The due diligence for Salesforce was completed back in 2019, and we successfully used it to automate the medical marijuana, adult use marijuana, the COVID-19 inspections, and as of March this year, child care facility applications. Technology, the agency's vision of licensure processing consists of a centralized delicensing system that significantly minimizes processes that use paper. Since 2019, the agency has supported this vision to deliver a modernized solution built on the Salesforce platform. Next slide, please. Overview of the proposed solution. To align with the ADHS division of licensing strategic direction and leverage the over $15 million invested thus far, ADHS will integrate MRT licensure processing into existing e-licensing Salesforce platform that currently supports marijuana licensing and COVID-19 complaints, childcare and COVID-19 inspections. Future projects for inclusion in Salesforce may include other special licensing product to include healthcare institutions, certified laser technicians, speech and hearing, and midwives, etc. Any questions? Next slide, please. The stated operational business issue is there's over 12,000 medical radiologic technicians, 12,000 payments processed manually, and over 12,000 licenses that we send through the mail to applicants once the license has been approved. There are several benefits to the state agency and constituents. Applications will be submitted electronically. All notice types will be sent applicants through the Salesforce. So if they miss a document update, they have the opportunity to go back to them through the platform, through the portal, and obtain the necessary documentation. The licensees will then be able to download and print their licenses from Salesforce versus us mailing those today. Online payments for 100% of the applicants. Currently, we're receiving checks, and 100% reduction in the mailroom activity for the MRT process. Any questions? Project responsibilities. We have some shared responsibilities: the discovery process, requirements gathering, and requirements grooming, for sure, between the agency and our contractor, Sloan. The agency is responsible for project management, requirements approval, ADA compliance, UAT, and test automation maintenance. Vendor contractor needs assessment, developments, and something we're trying now is the vendor will be performing QA and regression testing instead of DHS, and they will also be continue to do our user training. Next slide, please. Our budget for fiscal year 22 is $632,000. Fiscal year 23, $60,000. Our licensees and maintenance fees are about $10,500 a year. Our total development budget of $692,000 and total operational budget of $41,930. Any questions? Thank you. Some of our milestones are So, Mr. Bryce, do you have a question?
Go ahead, Stuart.
Stuart, you're muted.
You're muted.
You know, I'll just do a Ryan Murray on you and save my four till the end.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
Okay, next slide, please. Project milestones include the portal functionality tiles, initial app on the front end of the application, initial app backend MRT subportal, MRT void app, MRT card creation, renewal and change apps, enforcement investigations and complaints, and AZ care check, UAT, regression release, and hypercare. Our measures of success include 100% reduction in all mailroom activity for MRT, reduction in time required obtaining missing documentation. That's the back and forth with the licensee to get all their proper documentation in line. And the licensees printing 100% of their licenses from Salesforce instead of us printing those and mailing those out. Any questions? Next slide, please. That brings us to the end of our presentation.
All right, thank you, Scott. Mr. Bruner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Ward. First one that comes to mind here is back on the project responsibilities page with the vendor contractor being put in charge of quality assurance, which gives me the feeling of the fox actually watching the hen house. Can you kind of talk us through how that decision got made?
Yeah, that decision was made to try and extenuate the cost of doing QA. And Solemn has an extensive QA background and experience. And it's a trial, I grant you. Trust me, I'll be watching them closely through the stories and through the progress of the storyboards. And regression testing is something that we've traditionally done. But again, we're going to try and pass that along to Solemn this time.
Be interested to hear the results of that noble experiment. Mr. That's Chairman, good. If I could ask another one here. Go actually, this is a series based on not the IT side, but on the human side. You know, we do licensing over at the courts, and we typically have a staggered calendar for that licensing with 12,000 MRTs. Is it just a year round on the date of your that you were licensed? You know, a year later, you your license period is terminated, or is it by? Is there a calendar date that all of them have to renew on?
No, it's based on their initial application. 12 months after the initial application, they renew.
Okay, so that's it's an ongoing process, which is great. That makes it a little bit easier.
Correct.
What I'm concerned about is the notion that, your project goal is 100% electronic payments. I am not sure statutorily that you are actually allowed to do that, are you? I believe you have to have an alternate payment opportunity. At least that's my understanding. So I'm concerned about that 100% goal. It's a great goal. I'm just concerned about you shutting off all other types of payment as you drive people to this.
Yeah, the idea behind the portal is it will prevent the approval of the application until the payment has been actually received. And it gives them the opportunity to do all that in the portal. As far as statutes, I'm unaware of those. I'm sorry.
Those would be the laws we live by, Mr. Ward.
Yeah, anyway. We definitely rely on our program unit. I know that before Scott came on board to DHS, there were extensive discussions for the medical marijuana modules that we put in here, and I think we were able to successfully interpret those policies to be able to get that in 100% of the payment portal.
Yeah, I guess
there are probably some exceptions that this system is very flexible to allow for us to manually progress a particular application if the system cannot handle that for any reason.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Evans. I'm concerned about the digital divide, which continues to be out there in varying numbers, mm-hmm. depending on who you talk to. And I'm concerned these guys are not like doctors and lawyers here. I used to go to work with my parents, and I've developed the odd X-ray in my childhood, and I know that those guys are not a high profit margin business that they're running. They're the essential workers, but they're not highly compensated. So I'm concerned about that. I'm also concerned about the process changeover for 12,000 people from what's a paper process to an electronic portal driven process. Just boom, you know, in 1 year of cycling through. Can you give me any sense about the communication plan? I don't need to know the whole plan, but you know, how are you reaching out to people about it?
Scott, you want me to talk about organizational change management that we have on all these projects?
Sure. I just got an instant message. We do allow for other forms of payment other than electronic.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. How about the communication?
Yeah, as far as our organizational change management, we actually have a team that focuses on organizational change management, not just internally, but externally as well. And so we have done surveys, we have done training, we have done videos, we have done lunch and learns, we've gone to conferences and so forth to get people to socialize first, and then to get for example, the MRT, the technicians up to speed on what to expect, when to expect it far enough in advance where we believe we planted the seed early enough where there won't be that big surprise that, hey, tomorrow we're going live with this. It's going to be something that they've essentially been conditioned to understand what's coming and what it means to them, especially.
All right, thank you.
My pleasure.
Mr. Fleetham.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chairman. I did want to mention that there was a statute that was passed that you have to accept cash payments. State agencies have to accept that as well as electronic. But I wanted to mention about this transition at the Registrar of Contractors. We have gone to electronic portals for licensing, renewals, exams. We're not fully into a full year of rollout, and we're in the range of about 65% of applications are coming through that way. Around that, as far as renewals, there seems to be a wall right there. Sometimes it's up a little bit more on that month about concern. It may be concern about security concern that people have. The more we have news about some sort of cyber attack that might happen, or it might just be our customers. It certainly has relieved a load, a paper load on our staff. But we're hoping to get the renewals at least up into the 80% range and get the new documents higher. We also offer that electronic filing of complaints as well, and that seems to be moving quite well, but it's still 100%. And that's, if you guys get 100%, I've got a couple dessert chips at Durant's that it's on me. So if you get to 100%, before I pass away. So
we're going to note that offer in the minutes.
Okay, there we go.
The challenge has been thrown down. I don't know, Luke or Scott, do you guys have any anecdotal evidence of other services that you bought online and what the uptake has been in your experience serving different populations?
That's with medical marijuana and adult use. The Salesforce platform was new, and we disengaged the old system of childcare. We disengaged from Aspen. So by disengaging their current source of renewals, we've been able to adopt a higher acceptance rate.
And that was likewise here, Mr. Chairman and Scott, with the registrar. When we moved to our Salesforce platform, our own instance of that, we had those things change too. So,
yeah. So Scott, what do you know off the top of your head what the percentage adoption is, and understanding that probably medical marijuana and adult use, there's a different motivation than for a pure license renewal. Just understanding that would be fruitful probably.
I would love to share with you, I don't have it
okay
right here, but I'd love to share with you the surveys that I just spoke about. They will point out where the adoption is taking place. Now, again, that's there is 100% adoption. Let me be clear about that. Everyone is using these portals. Now, Scott, you may have answered that in a different way. Adoption meaning acceptance of the portal. We still get the various complaints from our folks, and we have a wide variety of customers, right? We have 20-year-old medical marijuana users. We have 90-year-old medical marijuana users. We knew about that going in, and so we tailored those communications to them. And that wasn't just us. We partnered with the Arizona Medical Marijuana Association to make sure that at the dispensaries we had enough training, or they had enough training, to be able to onboard people to use the system. and it's through a smart device, but they had kiosks set up in the dispensaries. And we had to go that extra mile to make sure that people were getting their medication. It wasn't something that they could, you know, they could wait around for. Anecdotal, yes, that's kind of what we've experienced. We're on our fourth calendar year using the Salesforce platform, and we're continuing to see additional engagement each time we go and feedback, and hopefully as we go through with this MRT application, we'll learn even more to be able to better serve these customers in new ways.
All right, thank you. Any other questions or comments from the committee? If not, that brings us to the close of our agenda for today. And our next scheduled meeting is June 15th. Now, knowing that June is a special month for us all in the state, with budgets coming through, we try to have some flexibility with our June meeting to try and, where necessary, coordinate with any JLBC meeting that may need to happen. So we'll hold the 15th, but we'll stay in communication with you if there's any need to change that date in order to make sure we can get our things through ahead of the JLBC session. And I expect, Rebecca, you don't have anything to tell us on dates yet, right?
I wish I had something to tell you. It could be July.
Okay. So we will continue to monitor the circumstances. So thanks, everybody. I appreciate your time today, and have a good afternoon.
Congratulations, Chuck.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated, Director.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, staff, let's go ahead and stop the recording.